This is Patriots Preview, presented by your New England Honda dealers. Getting you ready for the game on the Safety Insurance 98.5 The Sports Hub Patriots Radio Network. Now, Mark Bertrand.
Quarterbacks like this, you just want to put pressure on them and make him complete throws in a contested pocket. Make sure you have a hand in his face or around him at all times. That's kind of how the D-line and us linebackers, us rush guys, have our impact on the game. If we can do that, I think it'll help with our secondary and what they got in the wide receivers.
Patriots linebacker Matthew Judon this week, talking about the matchup with the Chargers today for the Patriots. It's time now to welcome in from the MMQB, Burt Breer, who's brought to you by Blue Bear Services. From Boston to Cape Cod, Blue Bear Services has all your HVAC, plumbing, and drain cleaning needs handled. Hashtag the bear was here. Burt Breer will join us momentarily here on the program. We're just waiting to connect with Bert. In the meantime, you want to talk to Danny and Quincy? Chris, we have a second here. Let's do it. I'm happy we're able to do it. He wanted to talk trade deadline. Danny, go ahead.
Do it.
I think they need a pass rusher. Their linebackers are aging, slow, and I know you have them on your show, Beetle. Kyle Van Do Nothing. Stop making commercials. They have no pass rush. I don't care if you can bring in four Champ Baileys on this team. If you have no pass rush, they won't be able to cover anybody. That's their biggest problem. And I don't know, Chris, I'll leave it up to you for who's available, but they need a bull rusher. Look at Vita Vea did for Tampa Bay when he came back from his injury last year. He's the most impactful defensive lineman in football over Donald and Sue. So he can do everything.
All right, Danny. Danny says go with the pass rush. Let's welcome in Burt Breer, the MMQB. Burt, how are you? Bert?
You got me?
There he is.
Hi, Bert.
Bert
Breer.
What's up, guys?
Oh, good to talk to you, Bert. Are you coming to us from home today, or are you on location at the TV station?
No. I'm at home right now.
Bert Cave.
Oh, wow. That means the power and internet are alive and well there, Bert.
That's right. Yeah, we were back up and running when we woke up on Saturday morning. I'm not sure exactly when it came back, but I'll tell you what. That was a felt like a life-changing moment when it happened.
What a survivor you are.
I mean, that's, a community like the one you live in. They make sure you're not without power for long.
Way to hang tough.
I mean, on Friday night, it was sort of touch and go, and I actually had to make arrangements for what I was going to do for the game on Saturday night, and then, of course, work today, and glad it didn't come to that.
Well, we're all thankful for that.
If there's anything to be thankful for, it's that my cable and internet started working.
He would have been back in the car again, Beetle. He would have called us from the
car. Oh, great. We didn't need that today. Bert, we just talked to Danny and Quincy there, and we've been talking about trade deadline a little bit. What's the biggest need for the Patriots? The consensus seems to be that it's corner. They need bodies there. They need help there. What would you do if you were the Pats?
Yeah, and I think it's sort of a tough spot to be in. And, I know we all look back at, the cautionary tale of the trade deadline being Mohamed Sanu in 2019. And I think one of the reasons the Patriots were compelled to do that was because there weren't a lot of receivers out there, right? And so if you guys remember, Emmanuel Sanders and Sanu became sort of the two big names that were out there. And I think, in both cases, a little bit of an overspend in going and getting those guys. Now, it worked out for the Niners. They wound up in the Super Bowl, and it didn't for the Patriots. And I think that's sort of where you are at corner now, where a shortage at the position across the league and a lack of team selling corners has sort of raised the price. So the two names that – I'll give you three names. Two corners and one sort of corner safety hybrid that have been sort of discussed. Two are with the Broncos. One's Kyle Fuller, who's been a really good player in the league for a long time. And then the other one there is Kareem Jackson, who's a safety now but has experience playing both corner and safety. And so those are two names that are available. And then the third I would give you is A.J. Boye, who I don't think the Panthers are looking to move. But because they have Steph Gilmore now, because they traded for C.J. Henderson, because Dante Jackson, a young player for them, is playing well. And, of course, they drafted J.C. Horn with the 8th overall pick. Teams have been calling them about A.J. Boye. But I think both the Broncos and the Panthers know that teams out there need players at that position, and so they're not going to give those guys away.
Is there any chance today, if the Patriots don't win this game against the Chargers and drop to 3-5 with the three wins just being against the Jets and Texans, that they look to peel off some pieces at the trade deadline. Bert, have you heard anything about that?
I mean, what would they have that would be of great value to other teams?
J.C. Jackson?
Maybe, yeah. That's the one name where it's like, okay, like we know we're not going to sign him. And I don't think they're in a great position to re-sign him. So if you were really struggling and somebody was going to step up and give you something for him, then yeah, I don't think they're in that spot right now. Even if they lose today, the AFC is so wide open. I don't know that you do that. And I also think, like, to some degree, because of the ups and downs this year, the team's confidence, no matter what Bill said this week, is not maybe where it has been, you know, over most of the last 20 years. And so I do sort of wonder too, what, like, trading somebody like J.C. Jackson, who's one of your best players now, what sort of message that would send to the locker room, you know, and how the younger players in the team would take that, especially after, I think, you know, people in the guys in that locker room had to reckon with the trade of Stephon Gilmore. So my guess would be no on J.C. Jackson. I mean, the only ones that I really think of when I'm thinking of guys that could be moved are like guys that you're just like looking to get rid of, like, you know, you're putting the old couch out on the corner. And that's like, you know, N'Keal Harry, Chase Winovich, like guys who were relatively high draft picks that, you know, maybe some other team thinks we can get more out of him than the Patriots did. But even something like that, I mean, like, what are you going to get back in return? Is it like, you know, pick swap where you're getting a 6 and sending a 7 back with him? I don't think it'd be anything significant.
Bert, are there any teams that are motivated to sell? I know that obviously usually applies to teams with bad records, but are there any teams making it known they've got pieces for sale right now?
The Texans are one, you know, and but for one reason or another, I checked in on Brandon Cooks with them, and it doesn't sound like they want to move Cooks. You know, the Watson stuff's the Watson stuff, and we'll see whether or not that happens. But, you know, I think they're willing to listen to players in their roster for obvious reasons. They need as much draft capital as they can possibly get. The other one that's sort of, I think, emerged here is the Eagles. And the Eagles have a couple of linebackers, Nerick Wilson, Alex Singleton, that they might be willing to sell. An offensive tackle who was a first-round pick a couple of years ago, and Andre Dillard. And then, like, Fletcher Cox maybe, but he's super expensive and isn't playing great. I think the Eagles are another team that's sort of, like, looking at it now, and it's, you know, it's a very real rebuilding year for them. And I think they would listen to almost anybody in their roster because they know they're sort of driving towards 2022 now when they'll have three first-round picks.
Just looking about some of the things you've written about, you know, this past week in terms of the trade deadline, you mentioned some wide receivers who could be available. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that would pique the Patriots' interest or not, but Andy Isabella was one. Darius Slayton was another one. And this one really piqued my interest. Devontae Parker was actually having a pretty good game in Miami. So I would say, do you think any of those guys can end up with the Patriots? And would Chris Greer and Brian Flores in Miami be open to making a trade with a team in the division with Devontae Parker?
Yeah, I think you'd be paying. I think you'd be like, to me, it's like if you're going to trade him in division, you're getting a premium back, right? Like, so I think like Devontae Parker is one of these players where it's like he's expensive and they've got players they like that are younger behind him. And he's been like sort of on the trade block the last couple of years. But I do think, like, you know, stylistic, like Chris, I like your like line of thought there, because I think stylistically he is sort of what they need. I think in a lot of ways he's sort of what they hoped N'Keal Harry would be, right? Like the big outside receiver that's like running comebacks and running digs, and like he's that sort of guy. So I think stylistically, yeah, you look at that and you say yes, like that's the sort of player you'd want. But based on where those guys are right now, based on, you know, Brian Flores' past connections to this place, I just, how would that look if they fall to, say, 1-7 today in Buffalo and they're dealing off like one of their most, now I'm not saying he's one of their best, but one of their most noteworthy players to the place that Flo used to work that happens to be in the division. I just, it, to me, like, and I know like you don't want to take PR into these things and everything else, but it would just sort of like be a bad look. You know what I mean?
Well, if it gave you even more ammunition to get Deshaun Watson, then I think your fans would forgive you.
yeah. But yeah, I wouldn't be, you know, we'll see if that happens. I don't think, like, I don't know that would be, I don't know that it'll connect like a Devontae Parker trade to a Deshaun Watson trade, though.
Bert, one final one for you. And the Chiefs are not playing today. They play tomorrow night against the Giants. They're in Kansas City. They're at home. But what's been going on with the 3-4 Chiefs this year, and what are the issues with Patrick Mahomes, and can they salvage their year?
Yeah, you know, I've talked to some people about this week, and it's really interesting because I think it's a number of different things, right? Like, so, and it's like one thing flows into the next. And it starts with the offensive line. You know, I think the projection of Orlando Brown going from a run-heavy offense and playing right tackle to playing in a pass-happy offense and playing left tackle, it just sort of feels like that was hopeful to begin with, and that Orlando Brown, as much as he wanted to play left tackle, was already in a place that really fit him well at right tackle. And if you strike out at left tackle, I think it makes everything else that much more difficult. So I think like Orlando Brown still getting used to the positions created like a larger issue on the offensive line. So that's number one, is that the offensive line hasn't come along as quickly as they hoped it would, even though guys like, you know, Joe Tooney and Creed Humphrey, who they've brought in, have helped a lot. You take that, and then you say, okay, like, well, where's the running game? Because that's the one thing that they can sort of use to calm down the offensive line issues. They've abandoned the running game. Okay, so, like, what is the quarterback doing? And I think Patrick Mahomes has kind of gotten in, like, that thing where he's playing a little bit too much hero ball. And so that's number three, is that, like, he's not taking the easy completions that are there that would really sort of help to manage the offensive line problem. And sort of like, you know, when he was at Texas Tech, like he had to carry the team, you know? And so like, he's sort of fallen back into some of that. And then I think defensively, like that kind of like, that's where it flips over to the defensive side of the ball. And Frank Clark and Chris Jones are being paid to be the best players in the team. And through 7 weeks, they just haven't been. And I think the fact that Chris Jones and Frank Clark haven't played as well has exposed what I think is a pretty ordinary back seven. So it's just, I mean, I know everybody wants to pinpoint it and like say like, okay, like, well, what's the one problem? I think that they've got like a number of different problems that connect to one another that I think they'll be able to manage to still make the playoffs, but it does make me doubt whether they'll be able to get to the championship level that they've been at the last 2 years.
All right, Bert, appreciate the time as always. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good one.